Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. If Bob didn't say it, then it probably ain't true. This is Primetime Sports with a man who cannot tell a lie.
Bob McCown.
Primetime Sports. Now, on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Fee-fi-fo-fum, or Tweedledee. It's Friday, June the 24th, 2016. This is Primetime Sports, Canada's most listened to sports talk show. I'm Bob McCowan. That is Arash Madani right there. That is Jeff Blair right here. And over here, way over here, is Michael Grange. We have so much to talk about tonight. It's rare you get a week with this much meat on the bone. And so we've moved through a half a dozen topics already. In the first hour, we're going to probably do as many or more if we can in the next hour. And there's not necessarily a particular order, but we finished off last hour in the hockey genre. And so we will continue down that road with at least a couple of issues. The PK Subban reports, some time ago, we started hearing that the Montreal Canadiens were shopping PK Subban. I do not pretend to know the genesis of the story, but based on my observations, it seemed to be being accepted as a fact. Whether they were going to be able to do a deal or not was always in question. But there seemed to be nobody questioning whether Bergevin was trying to deal PK Subban or amenable even to dealing PK Subban. Now, last night or yesterday, it was reported that the Montreal Canadiens general manager said, no, I'm not trading him. I've had lots of calls because of the story, but I'm 99.9% sure we're not moving him. Somebody would have to blow my socks off, and I don't expect that to happen, et cetera, et cetera. Number one, which is true?
What's true is Marc Bergevin wants to move PK Subban and hasn't received an offer that he thinks is good enough yet.
Based on what? You think that's true?
I think this is what I think.
I don't think this is what you think at all.
And he's sending a message to 29 other teams saying, whatever you guys have offered to me so far,
ain't good enough.
I just think, I don't know if he's offering him around, but I think he's willing to listen.
Yeah.
And he should be willing to listen because his team wasn't very good last year.
His team didn't have their goaltender. Yeah. And what we do know, and I think all hockey fans have by now conceded, if you don't have a goaltender, you don't have a team.
Bob, you know what? The thing is, most people really like PK Subban.
As a guy.
But, you know, look at what happened with the Olympic team. Look at what's happened with Team Canada. I love the guy. The guy's fun to watch. But I'm just wondering if maybe he's not as good as a lot of people think he is. And maybe Marc Bergevin has come to the conclusion that he's not as good as a lot of people.
Let's not forget. He just paid him $9 million a year.
But let's not forget one thing, and I don't know at all what his health situation is, but he suffered a pretty serious neck injury that sidelined him and shut him down for a guy who was on some kind of Iron Man streak. No, hold on.
Shut him down for how long? A game?
Oh, I think it was the last.
20?
Yeah.
It was the last chunk of the season, and there were a lot of reports coming out of Montreal. I covered their second-to-last regular season game in Florida, where it sure appeared as if Subban, you know, could have been cleared and they weren't going to make the playoffs, and at that point they said no. But do the Habs know something? Do they have some intel, perhaps, on this injury? Because when it comes to messing with the neck and the head and the spine and all that stuff, that's something that's a totally different deal, especially when you're paying a dude $9 million.
No. Well, there's also an event, right? Like, he's right now, that contract we're talking about doesn't kick in until July 1st, and he's on a no move after that. So if you're Bergevin and you're going, this is your last chance. You have a week to figure out how much you do really love this guy, how much everyone else loves him. And if he wasn't on a no move, or sorry, if he was under a no move as we speak, then I bet you not, this conversation isn't happening.
And I think it's understandable that if you're the general manager, this is when you want to have an answer by this week, obviously right. with the deadline there, but you think you probably get, this is probably your best chance to get an answer because all the GMs are there. It's the draft. Pieces are starting to move around.
Carey Price or not, like you're coming off a horrible season and you know, he was, fair or not, one of the reasons you had a horrible season. Maybe it would have been worse otherwise. But
I just think this is all dangerous in making an assessment of the Montreal Canadiens based upon their recent history with Carey Price and coming off 60 games or however many they played without Carey Price.
Sure.
Remember, when they had Carey Price, they were the number one team in the National Hockey League at the beginning of this season.
But I don't think this is... What interests me is the assessment the hockey world has made of PK Subban. Yeah, you know what the hockey world's like. There's a reason this guy is not sort of in that favored group.
Well,
because he has a personality?
Hey, I'm not saying it's right, but I'm saying there's a reason.
Because
that
he speaks his mind?
Perhaps.
Because every morning he doesn't say, we got to get the pucks in deep.
Well, was he not the last defenseman taken for the Olympics?
Yeah, but he was a kid.
Okay, and then is he or is he not on Team Canada's roster for the World Cup this year?
I have no idea.
He's not.
Don't believe
me. I mean,
so
I just think there's...
I think that validates your point.
Well,
that maybe there are others who don't think of him the way we fans or Montreal Canadiens fans.
There's a bunch of circumstances in play too, though, right? Like is you know the Canadiens season that they had. That's a factor. The pending no move. That's a factor. You've got multiple teams in the lottery with very specific needs, i.e. a right-hand shot defenseman who have, in the case of Edmonton, clearly have a lot of assets that they can peddle back to you. So, you know, if you're Pierre Bergevin, I think it's unwise to not listen. And when you say, is he shopping around? Is he not shopping around? Like, I mean, it's all semantics. The point is, you know, you have an asset that you're very shortly going to be locked into for the next 8 years, and you have a very brief window to determine if you can fill two spots on your holes on your team, which when, you know, with one player and save yourself a bunch of money in the process. I mean, that's what's driving all this. And as it relates to PK Subban and his personality, you can say whatever you want. The reality is there's been a persistent suggestion through his years in Montreal that the people he goes to work every other day have mixed feelings about him.
Mm.
And is that their fault? Is that PK Subban's fault? Is it overblown? Nobody knows. But it's not irrelevant because that's who he works with. And we can sit here and complain about, well, they don't get him or they don't. We can complain about the fact that they somehow don't appreciate everything he stands for. But that doesn't matter. They're the ones who work with him.
A lot of that locker room stuff, dressing room stuff, comes as a result of losing. You didn't hear much animosity coming out of the Golden State Warriors this regular season. I have a hard time believing from October to June that was harmonious the entire time. But you're winning. No one's going to say much. The show goes on. Carolina Panthers went 15-1 last year. I bet there were guys in that room who hated one another. Didn't hear a thing. You were winning. The show goes on. Started losing some games, and then suddenly some fingers started getting pointed. So I just don't buy too much into that unless a guy is a really bad guy.
The one quote that always sticks out with me about PK, and like everyone here, I've met him, like him, I've enjoyed the opportunity to interact with
him. He's really
We're not buddies by any stretch, but my experiences with him have been great. But PK, you either love PK or you hate PK. You know who said that?
PK.
Carl Subban.
Oh. Close.
PK's dad. You know when he said that?
What, when he was 12?
Eight. Nine.
Eight. There you go.
In other words, you know, it's a quote from
Bob. Where did his dad fall? Which side of the ledger?
Well, it's a quote from dad from Bob McKenzie's book.
Yeah.
There's a big profile on the Subban family, which is an amazing story. The story of the Subans and how they came to hockey and all it took to get their kids through it should be enshrined in the Hall of Fame. It's just an amazing tale.
Mm-hmm.
And they all deserve tremendous credit for it. But nobody, you know, I don't think anyone's pretending that, and certainly his father is not blind to the fact that he rubbed some guys the wrong way.
This week, the National Hockey League had two events. One was, well, both of them we knew were coming. One was the admission of Las Vegas to the club. The 31st franchise will be playing just off the strip in Vegas. And they also had the NHL awards, which they really need to hire somebody who knows how to do award shows in order to make this watchable. It was unwatchable the other night. I mean, I know this network paid $5 billion for the rights, and they're very proud to carry this programming. But it's just so Mickey Mouse. And award shows in general, not just the NHL award show, should ban all recipients of awards from getting anywhere near a microphone. They should be ordered to stay at least 60 feet away from every microphone. Walk up on stage. Here's your award. Thank you very much. Off. Put on another act. Entertain me. I've seen Penn and Teller in action in Las Vegas. I thought they were okay. Penn and Teller the other day were ridiculously bad. The whole thing was. That being said,
Hold back, Bob. What do you really feel?
Did you
So did you enjoy
you enjoyed yourself watching
enjoyed
it?
Enjoyed yourself.
I was there 2 years ago, and I almost fell asleep. Well, mind you, it was the Carey Price show.
Was your remote
like
broken,
Bob? Every other...
Yeah.
Well, no, I felt obliged to... It was so bad, I felt obliged to watch it, just so I could talk about it on here. And I've refrained for 24 hours.
The only reason you watch is because the Blue Jays had a day game.
That's also a good reason.
That's very true.
Vegas in the NHL for the perhaps last time. Success, failure, indeterminate.
Success. Big success.
But any?
I truthfully have no idea.
Well, I think that is an indeterminate.
I think it's a great success. Doesn't mean that they may struggle at the gate or whatever, but when you're, you know, Las Vegas is a global brand, and all of a sudden the NHL is affiliated with that. I think it's
the one thing that I heard in the last few days that is perhaps the most encouraging is that they have, I believe, 24 suites, and they're sold out. And
that's huge.
It's not surprising, but I'm going to I know a little bit about this town. There is not a lot of corporate headquarters in Las Vegas, so who is buying those suites?
Well, I was going to say after the casinos, Bob. What is Vegas?
Not much. Well, there is some high tech there.
Okay.
In the last few years, they have been able to lure a significant amount of high tech there. But these are not necessarily companies that are high profile that would advertise or market. You know, I mean, they may be big companies and they may be important and they may be even Fortune 500 companies. But it's a bunch of geeks working in there pounding on the computers. With due respect, you know.
Yeah.
So I got to guess that most of the casinos gobbled that up, and that makes sense to me.
A suite standpoint, in any arena, your standard beer company is going to have a suite. Your soft drink company is going to have a suite. There'll be a couple of restaurants there with a suite. Your bank have a suite.
There won't be. The head offices aren't there.
Doesn't matter.
All you got is distributors there, and they're not going to spend that kind of money, in my opinion. I think you go up and down the strip and you can probably count every hotel or group of hotels. Like if you consider Caesar's Palace owns, I think, 5 or 6 strip hotels. The MGM Grand owns.
It's not the strip, Bob. Don't you remember we had the mayor on? She called it the resort corridor.
Yes.
Resort corridor.
It's not the strip.
I think that's who's buying the tickets. And that's where that extra bump is going to come from. I've been fortunate enough to be invited to go to Vegas in August for the 50th anniversary of Caesar's Palace. And the entertainment that they're going to put on, which half of it is a big secret, I know is going to be monumental. They will look after their preferred clients, and they will offer a whole variety of perks. And I think they look at hockey and say, okay, there's a perk we can use, but these are not people who are going to want to sit in the seats, even the best seats in the house. Nothing less than a suite is going to be good enough. We better have suite space. And if they can sell extra tickets or give away extra tickets in some way, shape, or form, That might be the difference between success and failure.
The one thing that did occur to me about Vegas, and we've seen this anecdotally maybe, but sports tourism seems to be a bigger and bigger thing where you build vacations and build outings around going to see your team in other cities.
The Blue Jays fans.
Yeah, Blue Jays, we've seen with the Raptors, but, yeah. you know, you here in Toronto, well, you got Yankees and Red Sox fans coming up here in droves.
There's no better place.
Right. So you don't
to think, market that than Vegas.
Yeah. You don't think that Vegas is going to be on every tour operator's itinerary.
When the Winnipeg Jets are in Vegas, there'd be people from Winnipeg going down to Vegas.
Well, Calgary, Edmonton, Vancouver. Yeah. I mean, it's a relatively short flight compared to Toronto. It's 4.5 hours.
But everyone will go. It's Vegas, right? Everyone will go. And so I think, you can't probably build a franchise based on that, but can you sell
the only thing I
1,000 tickets a night on that?
Well,
I bet you can.
Here's what I would say to you. What I'm interested in seeing, and I don't pretend to know the answer to this, I wonder whether people will go to Vegas but not go to the hockey game. Let's face it, Vegas, the reason you go to Vegas is not to go and see sporting events.
No.
There's more entertainment 24 hours a day in Las Vegas than there is in any other city. Maybe all cities combined.
No, the road trip factor is what
100%. But I'm just saying, if you're a hardcore group of Winnipeg Jets fans, and it's January, and the Jets are playing the...
So you go for 3 or 4 nights.
Yeah, you're going to pick your annual road trip. Where are you going to go? Vegas or...
Columbus.
Right.
I guarantee
we'll go to Vegas for 3 days.
What's wrong
days.
With Columbus? You picked the two cities I know the best.
We'll go to Vegas for 3 days. We'll catch the Jets there on the Friday. We'll fly to L.A. on the Sunday, watch the Jets there, and fly home
in fact,
from L.A.
No, if somebody hasn't done this and they want to call me, let's start a little business.
Oh, it'll be good.
But no, I think that's...
But here's the other thing. The owner of this team just spent $500 million for an expansion franchise, built the arena on his own. Mm-hmm. He's going to hemorrhage $20 million a year. Doesn't really sound like he cares.
doesn't sound like he's counting the pennies.
Right.
No.
And
the issue with some of these Southern...
He must have kids he hates.
Well, I will say this about I'll say this about Bill Foley, too. Compared to how we've seen some expansions handed by owners... Guy seems to be a pretty legitimate dude.
Mm.
He did everything he had to do
by the book.
No did doubt. Everything he had to do.
He didn't ball silly anything.
Yeah, exactly. That was exactly the guy I was thinking of. And
You know what he did? He made it impossible for them to say no to him.
Right. It's here. I tick this box. I tick this box. I tick this box.
Didn't miss a beat.
Take my money.
What was intriguing? Did you find it intriguing that they didn't? What was the phrase that Gary used with regard to Quebec City?
Tabled it.
Well, that wasn't the phrase he used, but I can't remember exactly what it was. Essentially,
deferred maybe.
Deferred. Yeah. What does that tell you?
Tells me that there are a couple of franchises in the league.
Gary will never say that.
That are in trouble financially. Of course, he's never going to say that.
Gary will tell you Carolina's fine. We're not moving.
Yeah,
Carolina.
But that doesn't change the reality.
But let's remember when there was talk of Winnipeg potentially getting a team. It was always the relocation of Phoenix. Atlanta came out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And everybody's talking about Carolina now. Where's the black sheep here? Where's the issue here that nobody's really seeing? Is there another market? Is there another situation right now that's a real problem?
Oh, Florida, of course, they got their lease issue, but I mean...
They have new ownership there, too.
Yeah, they have new ownership, and I think they're... And they
or
have
could it just
a nice
be Carolina? Maybe they're telling the Hurricanes. Maybe they're telling Pete Carmanos, get it together. Or there's a brand new arena, a two hour flight from here that we can relocate a team, and they're willing to pay us a lot of money for a fictional relocation fee that Mark Chipman and
well,
the Jets.
Let me throw another one at you. Do you think Arizona's out of the woods?
No, I don't think they'll ever be out of the woods.
The only thing with Arizona
arena, right?
Until they're in and playing. Until I see them on the ice playing with in front of sold out crowds, I'm going to believe that franchise is in some sort of jeopardy.
Do you think there's any chance they would contemplate moving to Quebec City?
I don't know, but I do know this. I take Gary at his word as well when he talked about the Canadian dollar. I think that has to be a huge factor. If you don't have to add.
I know
another Canadian
team
right now. Why bother with the dollar being where it is?
The NHL in the past has compensated Canadian teams when the Canadian dollar has been problematic.
Yeah,
whether they deem that to be the case now, I don't think that's clear, at least not to me. But
if you believe the reports, the NHL is compensating the Karmanos family to the upwards of $300 million to keep that thing afloat.
But
I heard it was over 200, but we're in the same ballpark. Let's get on to a couple of other things. Still with Las Vegas, there's great speculation, and the mayor, who was a guest on our program this week, the mayor of Las Vegas, confirmed that she had had meetings with Mark Davis, the now principal owner of the Oakland Raiders, and felt reasonably confident that something could be worked out there. Now, what I am told by my spies is the National Football League will not permit Mark Davis to move the Raiders to Las Vegas, but will consider another owner moving the team there. And this fits with other information that I'm 100% confident in, and that was that Al Davis, shortly before he passed away, was attempting to sell the franchise because he didn't want to leave it to Mark. And I don't know Mark personally. I don't know whether he's a good guy, bad guy, or whatever, but he ain't in the club.
Bad haircut.
He ain't in the club.
Charter member of the Lucky Sperm Club,
though. Yeah, man.
Maybe the worst haircut.
Maybe the worst haircut.
NFL in Las Vegas, I don't think anybody... Look, NFL in Paducah, Kentucky could probably sell out. Is there any chance that an NFL franchise in Las Vegas impacts negatively on the hockey team?
No.
I agree. You?
It can't help. I mean, you know, that's a lot of corporate money that's going to get sucked in another direction.
But once a week.
Once a week, but it's not like they charge...
Ten games.
They still charge
45,
a lot of money,
right?
It's also the shortest season of all major sports in terms of beginning to end time frame.
I mean, the flip side of that is, you know, you talk to people in the restaurant business, and they'll say, you know, the scariest time to own a restaurant is when you got one, you're the only one on the street. When you've got 10 on the street, it's good because everyone's going to come and they'll come to your restaurant eventually. So similarly, if the NFL is there and it's sucking in a bunch of visitors and putting, you know, getting people in the minds, maybe by osmosis, the NHL benefits.
Well, what the mayor told us, she said that she is confident in the next decade there'll be three, and the third would be an MLS franchise. And if you read between the lines of what she said, is that now that David Stern is out and Adam Silver is in, there's a lot more of an appetite to have a real conversation with the NBA.
One of the first acts of Adam Silver's tenure as commissioner was an op-ed piece in either the New York Times or Wall Street Journal.
About gaming.
It's time to be part of the solution, so to speak.
And I don't know if Vegas would want one, but I mean, I can tell you that Rob Manfred, like Adam Silver, they've got involved with DraftKings, right? They've come to the conclusion that, you know, might as well get a part of this. Might as well get a part of the gambling money because it's going on. So,
well, I've been to baseball games in Las Vegas. It's warm.
Well, you got to have it. Yeah, you'd have to do it.
You have to do a dome.
Dome.
One of the interesting things about an NBA franchise is biggest expenditure, well, besides the franchise fee, building the building.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? They got one.
Meshes pretty well with your hockey team, doesn't it?
It's what they do almost everywhere else, right? It gives you two tenants, gives you extra money.
Mm-hmm. Keep the lights on.
Keep the lights on, and it's sitting there.
Yeah.
It's sitting there.
I don't think the National Football League team affects the NHL team. I think an NBA team certainly does.
Well, it's
same number of nights.
Competitive season. It's a parallel season.
Is the college team still a big deal down there?
Not
what it used to be.
They're not winning.
It's not what it was.
It'll never be what it was.
I was there in the 80s when Tark was there and they won the national championship and, you know, everybody went, you know, did the shark clap and dun-dun-dun-dun, you know, played Jaws music and the band played. And that was the first arena where they lit off fireworks before every game. I mean, it was a show. It was truly a Vegas show. And everybody else, every other arena adopted everything that UNLV started. It was special. And it was star-studded. There were more stars courtside for UNLV games than there were for LA Lakers games.
That'd be a great 30 for 30, actually. Huh? The Running Rebels.
Well, somebody ought to do it. Maybe I will.
Larry Johnson.
Cadillac Anderson in that team? Or
Greg Anthony, Stacey Ogden.
Right, somebody up there else. With the U.
Gerald Patio.
It's the basketball version of the U.
Yeah.
Except you're in Vegas.
Yeah, they had a few criminals.
The only problem there is there's a lot of the key guys like Mark Workenshin, and there's a few other kind of behind-the-scenes guys for Tarkanian that are still in the NBA and are probably not ready to tell their secrets.
Right.
And Tark has sadly passed away. Well, we will see who the next franchise is to go up against the big gamble. Last night, the CFL season kicked off with the Toronto Argonauts at home in their first game at BMO Field. The atmosphere looked great. The crowd looked excited before the game started. And then the Argonauts laid a big fat egg, and people went home. I was going to say that aside, but that may be a big factor in what we discuss. Perhaps the most interesting part of this, and I know we may be picking at nitpicking here. I am told they did not sell out.
They did not.
That about 5% of the seats went unsold.
That's what they announced.
Now, A, that's not a big deal. B, it would have been a good crowd if they still playing at the Rogers Center. 24.
It would have been their best crowd.
24,000, 25,000.
No, more than that. And it would have been their...
Since Cinnamon and Sokolowski, probably.
Yeah.
So... This, you know, on the surface, it says, good start. But is it? Is that 5% indicative of the fact that filling that place on a regular basis is not going to be easy? Because if you can't sell out your first game in a new building...
Against a team that is
right
90
down
minutes
road,
down the road.
Who brought a whole bunch of their fans in to buy tickets... Doodly doodly do.
Well, they've got a building job ahead of them. I mean, this team has been completely off the map in terms of pop culture, for lack of a better word, for 3 years, 2 years for sure. So, you know, like hands up how many people were sure that the, you know, home opener was this week. Like, I didn't know until, I found out that day kind of thing. It's not on people's radar. The habit has been broken. You've got to build that habit again. I was driving by the game last night on my way to BioSteel for the draft, and I saw the tailgate on the one side on the Ontario Place. I go, you know what? I said, that looked like fun. And it's just, that's what it's going to take. It's going to be the 90%.
Do they build, though?
I went last night. I went last night after
working
we did
or?
The show. Not working.
Yeah.
Had a couple of tickets. And I'll tell you this. There were a lot of Ticat fans.
Mm-hmm.
In our section, there were a lot of... They papered that house pretty good last night. There were a lot of people who went to that game who didn't pay for tickets. They also moved the start time. It was 7:30 on the tickets, on the website. The start time was actually 8:10. They wanted to make sure when they put this thing on television that everybody was in their seats. And they didn't tell anybody. This is a real perception thing right now. By not only the Argos, but let's remember, the Argos owner is Bell. The Argos co-owner is Larry Tannenbaum. So their television arm here is really, you know, their television partner is really turning into a PR and a marketing arm of the organization. They spun out some numbers today. They got 692,000 as a national audience. They spun out some numbers today about they had a 2.8 million unique viewers. We're not going to get the real story on any of this, on what it is, what kind of numbers they're actually going to get. But it was a decent time. There were a lot of people who left at halftime. There were a lot of people who stuck around who were into it. There were a lot of people who were checking their phones wanting to know who the Raptors drafted. This is step one in a long, long, long road for this team to come back. There is zero that you can get out of last night that you can – do a full evaluation.
Do you believe it's a road that leads anywhere?
Could be. But there's a lot of work to do, and there's a lot of money to spend to get there. And look, they've spent a lot of money in the last month in this marketplace. They have advertised and marketed a ton. And you know what they haven't talked about once? Football. It's been about the tailgate. It's been about the party.
Yeah.
It's been about the $4 beers in the parking lot. It's about come out and have a good time.
But that's good.
It is.
As they should.
It is. After a little while, the party is going to wear off everywhere. Right? It's Toronto. It's a trendy town. It's what's novel, what's cool, what's hip, what's now.
The first day it's cold and damp, that tailgate is going to lose its allure.
No, but Toronto FC initially was a party.
Yeah.
And that was the spot to be for the first couple of years. And then after a while, people found something else to do on Saturday afternoons.
Mm-hmm. In fairness, because the team was horrible. A disaster.
And they kept jacking the ticket prices.
Was there anything that you saw with the Toronto Argonauts last night that led you to believe they will be anything other than bad?
No, I didn't see anything of the game.
Other than the final score.
But I'll tell you what, it's a great place on a beautiful night
to watch a game.
It's outstanding. I'm pretty optimistic about the Argos' chances of making the thing work there.
I hope so.
I don't think even the Argos can screw up.
If you're at all inclined.
But I'll tell you this. For this to be a success, it's going to cost this organization a lot of money.
Yeah.
And they're spending right now a lot of money. And in year one with these kinds of things, it's endless spending. And then what happens at the end of the year? It's, oh boy. Then comes the economic reality, and it's, are we willing to lose X number of dollars on this side of the business to help that side of the business?
Would you agree, Arash, that if you're at all inclined, and just judging by, a warm, beautiful June night and the opportunity, to go out and only $4 beers, that's pretty good.
Outside. Inside, it's still
$100
at prices.
$100 tickets, but I mean, is a
and $14 pints inside.
If I was this much inclined to go to an Argos game, and I had a few other friends who were that much inclined, and you could roll up and do a barbecue and have some beers and be surrounded by guys who've sort of shared your same inclination, that looks like a great time.
Sure it does.
There's not that many times like that. Then you truck across and you go to the game, and pretty good.
Yep.
So... I'm willing to be optimistic in that sense. I think that could catch on and be a fun thing.
I don't think we'll know until we see next year's season's ticket figures, because that will ultimately be the
measure.
We'll
never see them unless it's a real success.
Okay, but that's what I'm saying. If we don't hear that it's a real success, then it hasn't been a success.
Have they announced season tickets for this year?
They haven't, and I was told that they were having issues selling tickets. Here's one thing the new president of that team said last year during Grey Cup week. He said the goal was to sell out every game, and the goal was to have a season ticket base of 20,000. And they're 0-2.
And sorry, what's the capacity right now for football after the
26?
Is that what the football capacity is?
Is that all?
It's around that.
Yeah, that was my first reaction.
So it's
too.
Not the 39 figure, right? Because at one point that stadium is going to be expanded to 39,000 or something.
That's going to be for special Grey Cup events. when they bring Winter Classic. Yeah.
26,000 seems like doable. You're right, they'll probably at some point need to win. But I think you can do some good work with
no Jays competition last night. That's one thing that I would throw out there.
That's why the television number surprised me at 692.
Because there's nothing else. There was nothing else. Well, the NBA draft.
Well, the other interesting thing, and I know this is not of great consequence to fans, when our friend Mr. Pelly was the president of the Toronto Argonauts, we had many conversations about the economic realities. And at one point he told me, and I can't remember if it was 31 or 33,000 was what he said was the break-even number in terms of tickets.
At Rogers.
Totally different economics now. The television money is way higher now. They signed a new TV deal 2 years ago, I think it was. They're bringing in like $45 million a year in TV money, which is 6 times what they were getting before.
So do you think if they sell out every game, they can make money?
Absolutely.
Wow,
I was told their break even is 18,000. Now, I don't know how that factors in with the marketing money that they're pouring in for season one, but I was told 18,000 is
fully
around.
Paid though. 18,000 fully paid.
Yeah, at what price? And I heard there were somebody tweeted me earlier that they had end zone seats that they paid $100 for.
And
somebody else said they got seats on StubHub or someplace for $10.
Yeah. Last night.
Sorry, the face value is $100 for two ends.
Yeah. Last night, if you went on Ticketmaster, when we had a break in the show, I went to Ticketmaster last night, and the maximum quantity of tickets you could get in one transaction is 8. I said, best available. And you could get 8 seats together on the 55-yard line 2 hours before kickoff. And wow. if you went to StubHub, you could get tickets for $11. Now, there were still probably somewhere between, I mean, this is
what were the eight
guess.
Seats on the 55 worth? Do you know?
I can't. I
oh, don't. They were $100.
They were $100. Yeah.
Is that the most expensive ticket in the place?
They were $100. No. I did the same thing.
Yeah. We want to get a little Blue Jay chatter in here and a few other things to get to as we're wading our way through this long list. It's prime time on the Sportsnet radio and television networks.
Now, prime time is anytime. Subscribe to the Primetime Sports Podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now, more of Bob McCowan and Primetime Sports on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
I'll keep watching. I'm not going to do anything. Hi. Thanks to a local Subway for bringing in some sandwich samples for today's roundtable. Try their new Applewood pulled pork sub just in time for the barbecue season. Made with tender, slow-cooked pork, yum, yum, and topped with delicious barbecue sauce, this sandwich provides a big, bold taste that's perfect for summertime. You can also give your sub the deluxe treatment. Right now at Subway, get 50% more meat on all your favorite subs for a small additional charge. Subway, eat fresh. Well, we got too much to get to. We're not going to have time. We can talk about Blue Jays anytime. 42 days until the Olympic Games. Here's more good news. WADA has suspended the accreditation of the anti-doping lab in Rio effective June 22nd. So, if you're planning on getting juiced up before the games, dig in, because ain't nobody going to catch you. They don't got a lab. You know, what do you do now?
It's amazing that the World Cup was held in Brazil 2 years ago, and the exact same thing happened.
Yes.
They had to go get another doping lab to come in for the FIFA World Cup, and now here we are 2 years later before the Rio Olympics in Brazil.
Wait
same
a second.
Deal.
Well, what kind of lab do you bring? Was it like a lab in a pickup truck?
Oh, yeah. Putin's got that
it's
one.
Like,
you got to get
like
another
Breaking
one.
Bad. It's like a broken down RV racing through the Amazon right now.
No, that's the one with Putin is the one that gives you the drugs, not the one that tests for it.
That's right. It's like
I'll tell you a quick.
You
like
want the drugs?
Snake oil salesman.
It's like a needles.
No drugs.
I'll tell you a real quick Putin story from covering Sochi. We had a driver. His name was Sergey. What else would it be?
Yeah, of course it would be.
Yeah. He was our translator / driver to take us around. Sergey, we'd say 11 a.m. He'd be there at 10:15. Noon. He was 45 minutes early every day, except one day.
Uh-oh.
He was 5 minutes late.
Uh-oh.
He showed, and he was like the most calm, chill guy. Nothing bothered him. He was swearing up a storm. Putin this, Putin that. We're like, whoa, Sergey, like everything okay? They had closed down traffic, blocks and blocks of it, because Putin was doing a photo op in a coffee shop. Turns out it really wasn't a coffee shop. It was a makeshift thing that had been set up. It was a bunch of actors who were sitting around. Nobody was actually drinking coffee or eating cake. Putin came in, did his hellos, cameras came in, snap, snap, snap. Within 15 minutes, that coffee shop didn't exist anymore.
So it was just a sincere version of the photo op. It was like it was the photo op to the extreme.
So that's I can only imagine what their doping lab was.
Well, this news is being hardest felt in Russia itself, because of course the Russians are now saying, "Oh no, if we just managed to get away with it for another couple of months, they have no testing there. We could have breezed through these games, but alas, they're already booted out." It's a mess. Rory McIlroy has decided to be among those who will not go to the games, saying that he is concerned, fearful of what could happen to him, specifically with the Zika virus. How do we feel about that? Are we over the shock of athletes saying no? Are we forgiving of them? And I don't know how many athletes other than golfers
are saying no.
Yeah, I mean, who's saying no? Yeah. Are NBA players of all countries who have better things to do and more money to make, and golfers who it's been a strange fit anyways. Like this rush
Although
to get golfing
to
the Olympics. I'm like,
they're outside
really?
All the time.
Yeah, here's
tennis players aren't pulling out.
I'm just yeah, but tennis players aren't playing like couple grass and stuff.
Grass and stuff.
Well, you know what I mean. Like they're not on a golf course. They're not. There's not trees around.
They're not
there's
in like
a place in the world that where there are more mosquitoes than on a golf course.
Winnipeg.
No, a golf course in Winnipeg.
Yeah,
I've been to St. Charles.
Okay.
On cue, Blair.
That was outstanding.
Imagine if there was the Zika viruses in Winnipeg.
Ooh. Well, this is the only thing. Does this mean now that Rory's not going to take part in any events in Florida?
That have mosquitoes.
There's mosquitoes there.
Well, no. I don't know.
Maybe
I
Rory think a lot was of these... planning on getting pregnant.
Look, it's been like 1,000 years since golf was in the Olympics.
What if a major was being held in Rio? A week after or a week before the Olympics?
Well, it's an irrelevant discussion. That's never going to happen.
There wouldn't be a major in Rio.
That's what I just said. Pay attention.
But the point is, I don't think this has anything to do with the Zika virus. I think that's just
an excuse.
Convenient.
I just find it intriguing because in the golf world, this was considered a major coup.
It was like when tennis first went through. That was a big deal
for tennis. This is a big deal for golf to get back into the Olympics.
For golf, but not for golfers.
Well, I've always believed that golfers subscribe to what's good for the game is good for me. I mean, it's sort of the underlying philosophy of the sport.
I thought it was what's good for me is good for the game. I'm sorry.
No, less the case.
That's what I thought you meant, actually, yeah.
You know, these guys play in the Ryder Cup and the President's Cup every year, and I don't doubt that they get some stipend, but nowhere near what they could make elsewhere.
I will say this. You know, everybody's got a different threshold for worry about things, and... Maybe the concern about Zika virus. I mean, everybody's talking about it. There are athletes who are concerned about it, but they're still going. And I guess in the case of Rory McIlroy, you know, if you're a track athlete, this is your big shot at glory. You're going to go regardless.
It's risk
reward.
Or not
Zika. It's risk and reward. Rory McIlroy, go to the next Olympics. He's young enough.
Or if he skips the Olympics but wins the PGA Championship. Yeah. All that matters, you know, that's a great year.
Yeah, like I don't think his brand or his image has been damaged by it. I don't think people are, you know, oh my God, I'm never going to cheer for Rory McIlroy.
And that's another thing, Bob. One reason like golfers are attracted to the Ryder Cup or whatever is they're brand driven, right? And so when you're at the Olympic Games, you aren't working for your sponsor anymore. You're working for the IOC sponsors. So there's less motivation.
Do you have to use no-name golf clubs, too, when you go?
You have to tape them over with the Olympic rings.
What do they do in tennis?
In tennis, you are allowed to wear your apparel company, but not your sponsor patches.
Okay.
So if you're a Nike athlete, you can wear a red Nike Canada shirt,
but you can't wear your...
Can your racket have the big W on it for Wilson?
Sure can. Okay. The basketball has Wilson or Spalding or whatever on it. The volleyball used... Yeah.
I didn't ask that, though.
The answer is yes.
No, you know. It's like value-added intelligence.
But again, I didn't ask that. Please only answer the questions that I ask.
Okay.
Don't presume to answer questions I haven't asked yet. So in basketball, can the spot... Never mind. Last question real quick around the table. If Marcus Stroman sucks this weekend, do you send him to the minors? Arash.
Not this start, the next, I would.
Can't say yes or no.
Marcus Stroman will not pitch a day in the minors this year.
So he's going to pitch well this weekend, or it doesn't matter?
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, Grange, you want
to... I don't think he's going to the minors, no.
Well, based on his performance the last few times out, he deserves to go to the minors, and maybe not even to Buffalo, maybe someplace lower.
Ricky Romero didn't go to the minors till the next year.
Ricky Romero's the ex.
Well, I got news for you. I have this recurring nightmare that we are seeing Ricky Romero reincarnate.
No.
It's not apples and apples.
I know.
It's not apples and apples.
Yeah, Ricky's knees were destroyed.
Romero
had a better year. Stroman's never had one.
Yeah,
we got to go.
Not even close.
For Madani and Grange, and to a much lesser extent, Blair. McCowan here. Have a nice weekend. Good night from Toronto.